I want to talk to you tonight about breaking Satan's snare. Open your Bible, please, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Burl, where's your Bible? Burl doesn't have her Bible. Everybody stare at her, please. But don't help her, Connie. Don't do that. Just... See, that's what she thought she could do. She'd get over there and hide, but she doesn't understand that I have peripheral vision, and I can see her right now as well as I could if she was out here, and I shoot. Jim Bob, now, I'm not a popcorn preacher. I am a birdshot preacher. You missed a good opportunity, boy. I shoot a scatter gun. It's a 10-gauge with a flared barrel. And I mean, it comes out, and when I pull the trigger, I jerk it. And the shell just... Hunters understand that. Shell just goes everywhere. So I'll get you over there too, Verl. Don't try to hide from me. All right. Breaking Satan's snare. Have you opened the scripture to the second chapter of 2 Timothy? If you have, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Listen to these verses of scripture now. I want to call your attention to verse 24, 25, and 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose. Now, your Bible says themselves, but it really means oppose him. If God, and that next word is perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now, verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, folks, if the Bible says that somebody can get out of the snare of the devil, then there must be a snare of the devil. Amen?
Amen?
All right. If the Bible instructs the children of God as to how to get out of the snare of the devil, then the children of God must be able to get into the snare of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
And if the... I said amen?
Amen.
Okay, now if y'all don't answer me, I'll start back and preach my sermon from the start again thinking you wasn't listening. So now, when I ask a question, you better respond or we'll be here till daylight. Now, I'm about to starve to death now, and I can't hardly stand to hear me preach that long. So respond. All right, now watch this in verse 26. That they may recover themselves. Now, not only does that verse of Scripture teach that there is a snare of the devil, not only does that word teach that you can get caught in it, but that word teaches that you have to get yourself out of it. Now, you know why? Because the devil cannot do anything to you that you do not allow him to do. Now, you hear what I said? The devil cannot do anything to you that you do not allow him to do it. And folk, one of the greatest errors and the greatest level of ignorance among the people of God today is along the line of spiritual warfare and the activity of the devil and how that the devil carries out his devilish work through the demons of hell. And you literally face them every moment of every day if you do not understand that they, the demons, are there and that they are sent out as angels of Lucifer to intimidate the children of God. So you see, you can get in the devil's snare. And you get in the devil's snare, quite simply, any time that you disobey the teaching of the Word of God. Anytime you do anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Now listen carefully. Are you listening? Do like that if you are. Anytime and every time, and especially you kids better listen to me. Anytime and every time you do anything that is contrary to the Word of God, at that very moment, what you have done is you have made provision for your flesh, and the Bible says don't do it. You have opened up a selfish desire, which the Bible calls a lust, and therefore you have allowed yourself to be drawn away into an evil temptation. So therefore, the Apostle Paul told this young servant of God, now if you get ensnared in the devil's trap, you got yourself in that mess, now you get yourself out. You made provision for your flesh, now then you put the flesh to death. Essentially, that is what he is saying. For you see, he already said that when you do this, you give the Word of God to people, and they through repentance are able to restore themselves. You can get free from the snare of the devil, but brother, the only way you're going to do it is by obedience to the Word of God. And then you'll notice the last phrase there is a little bit misleading. The last phrase says, those who are taken captive by him at his will. Now that does not mean that the devil can just walk around and he's so powerful that he can just take over somebody anytime they want to. What that literally means is that it is the will of the devil to take you over. It is the will of the devil to make you captive. It's the desire of the devil to captivate you. Now, folks, there are two extremities in regard to the spiritual warfare. One is characterized by some of these super spiritual idiots on television and the radio and running around our country magnifying demonism and even setting up rooms in buildings and having exorcism services where they cast demons out of people. Now, demon casting out is real. I have been involved in it and am not afraid to be involved in it in the future. But my dear friend, the real issue is whether or not you have crowned Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. If you have made Jesus Lord of your life, then you will obey the Word of God. And when you obey the Word of God, you will not have any kind of demon trouble. So you don't need someone to cast a demon out of you. What you need is to understand why and how you were made captive by the devil or by the demons, and then cancel it out by repenting of your sin and forsaking that provision of the flesh that enabled you to become captured by the snare of the devil. Now, the other extreme of those who say, no, sir, a born-again believer does not have any trouble with the devil. I heard one preacher say, boy, I want you to know our Lord has the devil and all the demons on a leash. No, he doesn't. He is the prince of the power of the air. And he is in control of this world order. And the Word of God point blank says that we wrestle against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of the air. Now, brethren, if the Bible says we wrestle, where does a preacher or a Bible teacher have a right to tell an unsuspecting, innocent child of God that his troubles does not come or do not come from the demons of hell? But that's where they come from. The devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may intimidate. That's what the word devour means. And you will notice that the Bible says we wrestle against principalities, powers, and rulers. Oh, that's plural. Satan is singular. You don't struggle against Satan. You struggle literally against the demons of hell. Now, if you're lost, if you're not a Christian tonight, you are demon-possessed. You are of your father, the devil. And according to Ephesians 2:2, you are demon-possessed. Every lost person is demon-possessed. That's what the Bible teaches, my dear friend. That may stagger you. You may say, well, I know some of the finest people in the world. They're just as fine as they can be, but they're not saved. They're demon-possessed, according to Ephesians 2:2. Now, a Christian cannot be demon-possessed. But I'm telling you, a Christian can come under the control of demons. A Christian can get so demonized that they have no longer the capacity to do right. And they are lured away and then ensnared. Now, if you think that's not true, the Apostle Paul's testimony was this. He said, I see another law warring in my members, talking about his body. I see a law warring in my body, bringing me or my mind into captivity. What was he talking about? He was not talking about just the sin nature. For you see, no scripture is of any private interpretation, which means you have to interpret every scripture in the light of other scriptures. So Paul's meaning is clarified when we understand that he himself later said and was confirmed by the Apostle Peter that when we make provision for the flesh and we want things to go our way, we open up an avenue where that we can be drawn away, and to be drawn, brother and sister, there has to be a force field. And God said, I tempt no man of evil. So every trial, tribulation, problem you have of demons is there because you don't have the victory that Jesus Christ brought, and you don't have the victory that Jesus Christ brought because you are in disobedience to the Word of God, and that disobedience is a sin, and that sin opens the door for the devil to come in with demons and lay a trap for you and to snare you. But there is a way to break free from the snare of the devil. And Paul covered it right there, speaking to this young preacher, this servant of the Lord, whom all of us are. At least I hope so. If not, I hope that you will be before the night is over. Now look what he said to do. There are five things here that are definitely instructions to you and me, definite instructions as to what we are to do to break the devil's snare. The first one is quite simple. No striving. Look at verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. Now, folks, I talked about strife this morning. That was the first point in the sermon about being carnal, or the conditions of carnality, is strife. Now, a born-again believer who plans to be free from the intimidation of the devil had better get it through their head that you cannot strive. Now, do you know what that word strive means? It means to be contentious. It means to have an attitude and a spirit of rebellion. It means that you do your own thinking. You don't give a rip what anybody else says. You don't even care what the Bible says. You are going to do things your way, and you'll tell off anybody that gets in your way. You'll walk over anybody that gets in your way. You just don't care what anybody else says. You have a spirit of strife within you. That's the spirit of rebellion, ladies and gentlemen. And you may not like it, but I want you to know there is an order, a line of authority that God has set up in the Christian world. And that line of authority is, number one, Jesus Christ. Number two, the father over the family. Number three, the pastor over the families. Number four, the parents over the children. And brethren, the word of God is an umbrella over all of that. And any diversion from that level of authority is going to get you in trouble. Now, do you know why that the Apostle Paul said, don't strive? Because he knows that when you start to strive, it's because you have gotten in the flesh. Folks, you don't fuss with people until you get mad. And you don't get mad until you want your way. Now think with me a minute. Do you know why Paul said that you ought not to strive? It's not to protect your testimony. It is not to keep the work of the Lord from being hurt. Folks, you're not going to hurt the work of the Lord. I get so sick and tired of hearing that. I get so tired of people talking as if God is not sovereign, and as if one of you are going to cripple God or tie the hands of God. You're not going to send anybody to hell, and you're not going to stop anybody from serving God whose mind is fixed on God. Every child of God is going to answer to God at the judgment seat of Christ personally for his own actions, and he's not going to blame Joe or Jane for his irrational action. And every lost sinner is going to answer to God individually, and there is nothing to this idea of impeding or hurting the cause of Christ. I want you to know, I mean on an individual basis now. When a whole church rebels, it's a different story. But you in your heart, the reason Paul said don't strive is because he knew that that was merely the symptom of the real problem. The real problem is a selfish nature. Now that's why you have a volatile temper. That's why you get your feelings hurt. That's why that things cut cross grain to you. That's why that you are easily teed off. It's because you have made provision for your flesh, and you have a nature of strife within you, and that opens the door for you to be ensnared by the demons of hell. Now let me give you an illustration. A young lady came to our home Thanksgiving night. A preacher, a pastor called us, desperately needing help for his 19-year-old daughter. This daughter was living in abstract rebellion. Every kind of sin you can think of, she, I imagine, was, well, by her own confession, she was participating in it. And yet at one time she had walked with the Lord. When she was even 16 years old, she was singing just like these Griffin girls are, and loving the Lord and living clean and honest. But she began to rebel against her parents. She began to listen to what the school teachers and what literature and what materials and what television programs were telling her. And she started believing what the world had to say. And I've got news for you, parents. You better wake up. The world out there does not want to entertain you, nor do they want to contribute to your morality or your virtue. Everything that you are being exposed to, unless it is on the authority of the Word of God, is designed by the devil to tear down the superstructure structure of your life to get to the foundation of your solidarity. And even the comics and even the shows on Saturday, the cartoons is what I'm trying to say. Even the cartoons are designed to influence the mind of our children. And if we don't understand that, we are going to lose the mentality and the spirituality of this particular generation, and it's going to be too late to reclaim it. This girl, by her own testimony, and I could give you that testimony by hundreds of teenagers who began to believe what the world said instead of what Jesus said. For instance, rock music. For instance, any kind of secular music, that beat grabs a hold of these kids because it is accompanied by an evil spirit that literally casts a spell on these kids, and they can't get loose from it, and then the lyric begins to work in their head, and the lyrics tell them to go on, if it feels good, do it. It doesn't make any difference what daddy or the law says. Just go on and do it. Let it all hang out. Have a good time. What difference does it make? And some of you even laughing at me now. That just tells you how ignorant the people of God are, and you don't understand that you're already in the snare of the devil. I'm talking about you kids right down here on the front. It's not a bit funny. And you parents are not aware of the fact that you have sold your kids down the river because of your lack of conviction and your unwillingness to take a stand and teach your kids what is wrong. And it's compromise is all in the world it is. And I've had parents say to me, but what are you going to do with your kids? You're going to be the ruler of your children like you're supposed to be. You say, well, I don't want to drive them off. Drive them off? Man, they're being herded off by the demons of hell. And you stand around on your blessed assurance and do nothing about it. And take no conviction whatsoever and take no stand. Just stand and cry because your daughter or your son's living in rebellion. You're responsible for it. I don't blame these kids for laughing at me up here. That's the devil doing that. If it's your kid, that's tough. Get it right. I know I'm right. You're wrong if you disagree with me. That's because the Bible says it, not me. See, it's true, not because I say it. I say it because it's true. You understand that? Shake your head yes if you do. It's not a joking matter. First thing God's Word says about the devil is be serious. It said be sober. Be vigilant because you're adversary. Be serious about the devil. It's not funny. And the demons of hell will cast a spell on you, folks. This is not just a game I'm talking about. Witchcraft is real and spells are real. And it's no wonder to me that things are going on like they are in our society today because God's people are so ignorant about it. Now, let me get back to my point. The Bible plainly taught us not to rebel. This girl began to rebel. This girl began to refuse what her daddy had to say. Refuse what her mama had to say. And then she began to smart mouth her mama. Smart mouth her daddy. Well, that's where the first major mistake was made, is the daddy did not take authority where he ought to have taken authority and not permitted that to happen. Then she began to lie, and before you knew it, she was off into every kind of sin and broke the heart of this pastor and his wife, became a disgrace to the community, a disgrace to the family. She rebelled and left and went off to school, got her a job, saved up some money, went off to school. Moved in with a girl and just living in deep sin. Every kind of thing, I don't even want to talk about it. But the daddy came to me about, how long ago, hon? 2 months ago? About 2 months ago. And just broken. Said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I said, you won't like what I'm going to tell you. He said, what? I said, you're going to give that girl up. And you're going to tell God and the devil that you don't care if you never see her again, because all that matters is the truth of the Word of God. And then you're going to tell that girl that even though she is your daughter, if she chooses to live that kind of a lifestyle, she will no longer have any fellowship with that family, because you will not compromise, and you'll have to apologize first of all for having compromised with her up to this point. He did just exactly that. I told him that in my living room 2 months ago when I came in from Amarillo. Now, brethren, Thursday night, that girl was in that same living room with her mother and daddy. About a week or so before, she had gotten to the place she could not stand it any longer. And she sat there and she said, oh, Lord, how I was broken. How lonely I was. How lonely and broken I was in the midst of all of the partying. In the midst of everything I thought I wanted, I was miserable. And it all started when my daddy took a stand and would not compromise. And she said, I want to get right. And I began to explain to her about this striving business. I began to explain to her what the real meaning of striving is. And I began to explain to her how that every time she sassed her mama, that it was demonic. and that every time she sassed her daddy, it was demonic. I said, honey, do you realize, and now I'm talking to you, rest of you folks now, listen carefully, especially you teenagers right down here. Listen carefully to Brother Sam, and I'm trying to help you. Did you know that every time, listen to me, every time you smart mouth your mother, you are falling into the hands of demons. Did you know that every time you disobey your daddy, you're falling into the hands of demons? Did you know if you do something that your daddy told you not to do, and you think, boy, I got away with it, that was slick and smooth, wasn't it? You are falling into the hands of demons, because the Bible says that children are to obey their parents, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And every time you go against your parents, you are falling into the hands of the demons. And this girl looked at me, and her eyes got big. She said, well, I say, asked my daddy, and I told my mother something ugly this very day. And I said, honey, that is not a thing in the world, but the power and the presence of demons. And I said, they have a control over you, and you're going to have to break it by confessing your sin, getting right with your mother and daddy, putting yourself back under the authority of your mother and daddy, and never again lie to them, never again delude them into thinking you're something you're not, but to be perfectly honest and always tell the truth, and be obedient to your parents, or you'll never get right with God. She began to cry. You would not believe how she began to cry. And folks, I saw the manifestation of the demons. Now, my oldest daughter, who had also gone through a 3-month period of rebellion, that I had to do the same thing I was instructing this pastor to do, she was in there helping me counsel with this girl and sharing with that girl, and Noah saw it as well as I. We saw the manifestation of these demons. She began to jerk. You say, well, she was just emotionally upset. That's what you think. She began to twitch. She began to jerk like you could not believe the strenuous jerking of her body. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I commanded that those demons stop what they were doing. And just that quickly, she immediately stopped and just calmed right down. And I said, now, girl, if that doesn't prove to you that you are under the control of demons and that you've got to get rid of this strife, you will never be proof. She said, oh, I know it's real. She said, when I came in here, I was scared to death. And she said, it just felt like something was running all on the inside of me. And she said, I don't know what's happening. Oh, Brother Sam, what am I going to do? I said, I'm going to call your mother and daddy in here, and I want you to tell them you are sorry, and I want you to tell them that you'll never again disobey them. She said, oh my, I know these demons are real. I want to get free. She said, that's what's been making me do what I've been doing. I said, yeah, but the reason they made you do it is because you wanted to do it. And you opened the door, and they took full advantage of you and led you into a pitiful situation. And this lovely, fine, precious preacher's daughter sat right there in my living room, and she apologized to her mother and daddy. She said, I'm so sorry, mother. I'll never again fuss with you. I'll never again fail you. And I told her, I said, if mama tells you to get up in the morning at 7:15, hit that floor. If daddy tells you to go to the store, take off. If mama says wash the dishes, wash them. And don't you frown, and don't you even act like you didn't want to. And if you feel something welling up inside you that makes you not want to, you better reject it in the name of Jesus, because that is rebellion, and that is opening a door for the devil to throw a snare for you. Man, she covered the whole ground with her mother and daddy. And then she was set free. Brother, I want you to know that daddy and I brought the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ against that evil demonic force and influence in that girl's life. And I thought she was going to have a convulsion, but I mean just that quick. She just calmed down. Her complexion, literally now, you may not believe this, but her complexion changed. Her disposition changed. The features in her face changed. All of the tension, all of the anxiety, all the fear, everything was gone. And I didn't have to say a word. Just all of a sudden she said, oh, I'm free. Oh, I'm free. And she and her daddy met in the middle of the living room and hugged and squalled, the three of them, mom and daddy and the 19-year-old daughter, rejoicing in the Lord for the freedom that had come because she had broken the snare of the devil. Now, folks, why do you think it's in the Bible? Kids, listen to me. Why do you think it's in the Bible to obey your parents? Because the demon's going to get you if you don't. You better be paying attention to me. Why do you think it's in the Bible for you to flee youthful lust for you to avoid that which is evil. Flee even the appearance of evil. Why do you think the Word of God all the way back into Deuteronomy warned you about witchcraft, fortune tellers, all of the whole gamut of the occult world? The Word of God's clear about occultism. But the devil's come along and made you and me think that, oh, that's just superstitious stuff. I've got news for you, friend. You allow yourself to be involved with anything that the occult world propagates, and you are on your way to being controlled by the demons of hell. And if you want to get free from the snare of the devil, you are going to have to stop your striving. Then notice what else he says. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Now, why is that in there? Well, now, folks, what is the opposite of being gentle to all men? It's being ugly. What is being ugly but a selfish defense? Did you know that when somebody comes and says something nasty and hateful to you, did you know if you retaliate, God leaves you on your own? Are y'all listening? Did you know that when somebody comes and says something ugly to you and you retaliate, that God leaves you on your own? You say, oh, the Lord wouldn't do that. I beg your pardon. You read the Word of God. God says, all right, you want to do it your way, I'll just leave you to your own understanding. I'll just let you walk in your own ways. You'll be back. You'll be back. But folks, the Word of God teaches that when I do not retaliate, when I do not defend myself, when I do not put my dukes up verbally, the Holy Spirit of God comes and is my defender, my sword, my shield, my buckler. What do you think that means? That's exactly what it means, my dear friend. God does the fighting for me. And so the Bible teaches that you ought to be gentle to all men, not in order that men would say, oh, isn't he a gentle guy? But the Word of God instructs you to be gentle to all people in order that you may be in a position for God to protect you and for God to care about you. Now, I may act ugly one of these days, but there was a time in my life, I'm talking about ugly at this particular point, there was a time in my life, if somebody came down and disagreed with me or jumped on me about something I preached, brother, I want you to know I was ready for an argument. And I could usually win, because I don't go out on a limb, brother, unless I take the saw with me. You're not going to cut a limb off behind me because I've got scripture for what I say. At least I've got that much sense. But I want you to know God taught me what I'm trying to teach you in that particular area. Now, I'm not what ought to be in all areas, but I'm working on it, and I hope you are. And I want to get to the place that under every circumstance and in every situation, I will know how to be gentle. Brother, there's no other way to fight the battle. It's just to back off and to be gentle and let the Lord fight it. Now, somebody says something ugly to you, do you say something ugly back? Somebody criticizes you, can you take it? Did you know the Bible teaches that a godly man is easily entreated? You know what that means? Somebody can come and talk to you about your problem and advise you and tell you what you ought to do differently and where you're wrong, and you won't get all mad and upset about it, but you'll accept their criticism without being offended. That's what easily entreated means. Now, you fit all of that together, that a man of God, in order to be free from the snare of the devil, is to be gentle to all men. Now, folks, remember, when you're driving down the road tomorrow and some guy drives you off the road, or you go into a service station and a guy is a smart aleck and acts like he doesn't care whether you have his business or not, you remember when you're in the grocery store and they take you for granted, you remember when somebody takes advantage of you, that is not just a circumstantial experience, but it is a designed attempt of the demons of hell to get you upset. And the only way you can ward the demon off is by being gentle to that person. Isn't that simple? It's so simple it gets me under conviction. Because right now the Holy Spirit's saying, why didn't you practice that? And I remember, sir, why didn't you practice it? And I remember a certain time. Oh, my dear friend, the devil will try you every way in the world. Not very long ago, I was at a crisis time spiritually. Now, by that I mean I had to make a decision. Don't make anything out of that. As to what I was going to do about something. And I pulled into a service station to get some gasoline. And I have a Jeep wagon there, and I pulled in, and the pump was starting and shutting off. He's starting and shutting off. And I said, sir, there's something wrong with this pump. And this great big burly guy drinking a pop cursed me and said, there's nothing wrong with his... And he gave a string of descriptive adjectives, pump, said something wrong with my Ford. And I said, well, sir, there is something wrong with the pump, and this isn't a Ford. This is a Jeep Wagoneer. I said, the gas won't go into it. He said, well, there's something wrong with your blankety-blank car. I said, nothing wrong with that blankety-blank pump. And I simply said, as gently as I'm saying it to you now, well, I'm sorry, but you don't have to be smart with me. Folks, he came after me. And I thought he was going to get me. Now, let me tell you what. Now, I know I don't look much like it, but I've been an athlete all my life. And I was a heavyweight conference champion boxer. And up until a few years ago, I was ready to fight at the drop of a hat, and I dropped the hat. And as pastor of the largest church in Michigan, I have whipped a man one block from my church and proud of it at the time, shamed of it now. That's 15, 18 years ago. Really. Brother, there was a time, there is no way a man would have talked to me like that. Do you know what my first reaction was? I pulled that nozzle out of that gas tank and my flesh said to me, now when he gets nearly to you, just take his eye out with the end of that gas hose. That's what my flesh said. And then my flesh made me realize that I could do it. That I could blind him, set him on fire before he could ever move with that gasoline nozzle. That was my flesh. And then the Spirit of God said, be gentle to all men. And I stood there and looked at him while he cursed me, threatened to knock my head through that glass rear window. Said every dirty thing you can think of, and I just stood there, and God gave me the grace to take it. And God let me look at him in such a way that he knew I wasn't scared. And when he finished, I said, I'll get the rest of my gas now. And I ran another $7 into that tank as it burped and belched trying to go. Hung it up and drove away. And then I realized what God had done for me. That the Holy Spirit had given me control. In a crisis situation, in days gone by, I would have been delighted to see if he was put together good enough to handle me. And had he done it, I'd have bragged on him. If he hadn't done it, I'd have bragged on me. But God gave me the Spirit of Jesus. God let me do it. And folks, the Lord fought my battle for me. I don't believe that man could have put a hand on me if he'd have tried. You know why? Because God, in response to my being gentle to him, came to my defense. I don't believe God led me. I think God might have killed him before he'd ever hit me. Now, folks, that's why it's in the Bible. You see, we never do really read that. Look at it again. Look at verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men. And then drop 26, so that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That was the snare of the devil. And every situation you have like it is the snare of the devil. So just be gentle to all men. Now that includes your wife and your husband. That hits us, doesn't it? That includes our children. That includes our parents. That includes your brothers and sisters, boys and girls. That includes your school chums. That includes the secretaries. That includes your boss. Do you know the Bible has a lot to say about employer-employee relationships? Some of you folks think you're so spiritual and you're so negative and ugly toward your boss. You know what you've done? You've fallen under the control of a demon. And you've got an ugly attitude. And you're going to get worse if you don't understand what God said to do. Now look at the next statement. Be gentle to all men, apt to teach. Now what in the world? How does that fit into this business of getting out of the snare of the devil? Apt to teach? The word apt, what does that mean? Well, it means ready and willing. Ready and willing to teach. Now, how in the world does that fit into the snare of the devil? When the Lord was giving me this message yesterday, I sat there and I looked at that and I said, now, Lord, there's got to be a reason why that's in there in regard to getting out of the snare of the devil. And then, man, God made me see what was there, and I was almost embarrassed that I didn't see it before. I felt like apologizing to the Lord. Folks, you've got to know something before you are ready and willing to teach. And if you know something to teach, that equips you to get free from the snare of the devil. In other words, if you are apt to teach, it is that you have learned something, and it is ignorance that gets you in trouble with the devil in the first place. You know good and well, if you know the devil's going to get you for something, you won't do it. And the devil knows good and well you know that, and so the devil doesn't come up and say, okay, I'm Lucifer now, or I'm a demon from hell, and I'm fixing to trick you, and I'm going to make your life miserable, and you're going to live the rest of your life regretting what you're fixing to do, so come on, let's do it. That's not the way the demons of hell work. They come and they attack you on your point of ignorance. So therefore, the Word of God says, learn so much that you're willing and ready to teach. Folks, if you can't teach, are you listening? Do like that if you are. If you can't teach what you believe, you don't know what you believe. Do you hear that? If you can't teach what you believe, you don't know what you believe. How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you could stand up right now and give me a 15-minute lecture on the operation of the demons and how you can defeat them in your life? What you can't teach, you don't understand. Now, you need to be apt to teach. Ready. Because if you don't know what your weapons are, if you don't understand how the devil works, you're not going to be able to get yourself out of a snare, much less somebody else. Be ready to teach. And then he said, patient. Why is that there? Well, you'll have to let the Bible tell you. The Bible says that tribulation worketh patience. And patience worketh experience. And experience worketh hope. Folks, don't ever pray for patience, because what you're asking for is trouble. See, tribulation worketh patience. God, make me patient. God says, all right. Hey, angel, take that guy from tribulation. Patience is the result of tribulation. And folks, you are going to have tribulation if you live godly. I read that scripture today. They that live godly must suffer persecution. You're going to do it. Why? Because the world hates you. The devil hates you. The demons of hell hate you. And they can't stand it that you're trying to live opposite from the system of the world. And so they send all kind of frustrations your way. And if you don't handle them in the way the Bible says to, they will win. You no longer will be godly. They will laugh and you will cry. But if you will obey the Word of God, then that patience will come as a result of the trouble that comes your way. So you see, my dear friend, all of those things you've been griping about, all of those things you've been fussing about, was actually God's way of creating one of the aspects by which you can free yourself from the snare of the devil. Patience. You've been griping about it. Now that's why God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. That's why God says rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. Because when difficulties come, and you praise the Lord for it and rejoice in it, God, through those tribulations, battles the devil for you, and as a result, you receive patience. And through patience, you can rid yourself, you can free yourself from the snare of the devil. I'm learning to tell folks, it's something I've learned. A lot of guys come to me, preachers call me from all over America, and they say, well, I got this problem, what should I do? Most of the time, I'm giving out the advice, just wait. You mean I ought not try to solve it? No, just wait. It'll die. Black preacher taught me one time, his favorite scripture was, it come to pass. That'll get you in a minute. That was his favorite scripture, it came to pass. Things are coming, brother, but they're coming to pass. They're not going to stay. It's only temporary. And brother, if you can just wait on God, He'll work out the problem. I know what it's like to have rebellious daughters. Both of my married daughters rebelled. Both of them living for Jesus now. Praise His holy name. I know what that's like. I know what the anguish of raising a family is. I know what the difficulties and the persecutions of living are. And brethren, I know that if you won't compromise and believe the Bible and wait on God, He will give you the power to rid yourself from the snare of the devil. Well, let me hurry. In verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose you. In meekness, instructing those that oppose him. Now, why does it say in meekness, instructing? Well, folks, if there's one thing that the devil is looking for, it's arrogance. If there is one thing that demons want, it's for you to be arrogant. Now listen to the scripture. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be overtaken. Did you know the word overtaken is an occult word?